Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, Ralph Marlborough here. We need your support to keep Saints Happy Hour going this offseason. Please support the show by becoming a patron so we can continue to cover the Saints in the ridiculous fashion you've come to expect. If you support the show, you get access to the podcast ad-free. No ads ever. Plus, you get our world-famous booze bundle, 4 swag items, amazing, and you get access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7. So please support Saints Happy Hour so we can keep this amazing community growing. Support the show at saintshappyhour.com today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy podcast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to Saints Happy Hour podcast. Thanks for joining us. We got a great show for you tonight. We are going to talk about the Saints news that you don't think was important this week, but actually is. We're going to talk about why the rest of the NFC South still stinks and the Saints are still the king of the division. We're going to talk about, is Julio the most hated current player by Saints fans in the NFC South? We're going to regrade the Saints 2019 draft. And we're going to talk about players for the Saints that are under long-term contracts that it is a huge, huge season for them. Thanks for joining us. Find us wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on the YouTube. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. If you don't give us 5 stars, don't give us any stars at all. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Andrew.
You guys, you like my trophy?
Yeah, right? Explain to the people. You're like a wannabe Pat Riley for 11-year-old. Boys basketball. Go ahead and gloat.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and put this next to my pillow tonight. I'm gonna be cuddling this trophy right here, this little plastic thing. It's actually a little heavier than it looks. You got a little marble there and there, it's actually a little heavy. But my fifth grade AAU team came through today. It's all about me. So I just appreciate the boys giving their best and making sure that their coach goes home with the trophy. So kudos to them. But no, it's been a great weekend.
So
that. Let's go.
I had Thomas cut audio from a coach's clinic where the guy giving the seminar is an absolute lunatic. So if you hear new exciting sound, that's Thomas doing amazing work.
I will say this real quick. I mean, you guys will appreciate this being parents, but going to these AAU tournaments is great fun, and it's hilarious because you really see the worst side of people. You know, when their kids are losing, and usually it's us losing. This is the first time we've won a tournament, but just hearing parents scream obscenities, get mad about, like, demanding calls from the ref that are completely non-existent. Like, it's a comedy. It really
solve,
like,
your problems with aggression.
I would recommend just going for the people watching, even if you don't have a kid that's in AAU, just for the comedy. It's pretty spectacular.
Quick story about my kid. He plays T-ball and he's 5, and he had 2 amazing hits this week where he hit it over my head when I was coaching second base, because he's 5-year-olds and you got to gather around the bases. And he hit it, and I heard him say, "I hit fucking bombs," as he's running to first. So he gets to second, and I say, "Max, what did you say?" He said, "I hit fucking bombs." I said, "We don't use that word." He looked at me, and he said, "Sorry, Dad, I hit fucking home runs." I was like, Jesus, I'm a terrible parent. I am a terrible, terrible parent.
Okay, so I got another kid story. So I'm driving my son's best friend, you know, and this guy, he was like probably seven back then. So it's like 4 years ago. So we're driving in the car, and, you know, we were talking about, I can't remember where we were talking about, but we were like, yeah, that's not a great thing to say. So let's not say that word. And the kid, my son's best friend, says, well, I know a word that's worse than that. I'm like, okay, what is it? He says, well, it starts with an F, but I don't think I should say it. And so I'm like, oh, Jesus, like, aren't we a little young for this? And I'm like, okay, let's play this out. Like, really, buddy, like, what's the F word? What is it? And he's like, well, I don't want to say it. And I'm like, okay, what is it? And he goes, Falcons. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that you're right. We should never say that word. That's horrible. That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Go to your room, son.
I was like, that is the F word. You're right. That's what a profanity. That's horrible. Never say it again.
That is the worst joke I've ever heard.
All right. So speaking of the Falcons, before we get to them, the Saints actually made news this week. Important news. Thomas, fire up the breaking news siren. Because, Dave, we had major, major Saints news as regarded to the UDFA adopted son draft. The Saints cut Trill Williams, who was a potential pick that I was thinking of drafting. They cut him, and then he was gone, and then they're like, no, he's back. But then he was gone again because the Dolphins claimed him. And
so then, as you see in this tweet, then the Saints were like, all right, fine, bring Ken Crawley back.
Yeah.
Same difference.
I mean, it turned really dark. I was going to be excited about Trill Williams. He had the meet around play in college, and I was excited to maybe pick him. Then we go to that to Ken Crawley, a dude I've never heard of, was signed by the Saints. He retired to be a doctor because he got into med school. But let's talk a little bit about Ken Crawley being back, Dave, because that scared a lot of people. I got the shakes a little bit.
Hold on, I'm checking in
Billy
right now.
Billy Bando.
I'm checking in right now. You keep talking, Ralph.
Billy Bando, is he back? Yeah. Does he reactivate the Twitter? Is it like is Billy Bando like the cicadas, the little bugs that they stay in hibernation, and then they come on back in like a fit of glory and then die and then you don't see him again? Is Billy Bando like a cicada?
Is he at Saints 4123? Is that him?
I don't know. Me and him have a difficult relationship. He blocks me and unblocks me, so it's hard for me to know.
So he unblocks you too? That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's like a weird
It's weird because like he'll block me and he like comes and goes. That was back when Ken, but I haven't heard from him in a while cuz Ken Crawley's been gone from the Saints, you know? But Andrew, as far as Ken Crawley being back, it's May, and the Saints may or may not.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Not at a corner, but we talked about it on the Locker Room Show Wednesday, which people should download the Locker Room app and join us every Wednesday.
I thought you were going to say may or may not start Ken Crawley.
Jesus.
I thought that's where that was going.
Jesus, God, no. But what I was going to say is as Thomas gets the graphic of the garbage bin corners, when do we start to worry about what will be the signs where you're like, oh my God, number two corner is a serious, serious problem? You know, because this list that Thomas created with this video, Sherman looks tremendous. We've talked about him. Signing him is great. But the other guys on this list, oh my God, B.W. Webb looking very presidential and serious. You got Josh Norman. I mean, this list is a sad list. So when do we start to panic? Not because obviously when number two corner, Andrew, if it's bad during the year, we'll obviously panic because it'll be affecting games. But when do you start to get worried in August? When does your I don't know, spidey sense or your ears start to perk up and go, ooh, that is not a good sign?
Well, today is May 23rd, and I am officially there. So the time is now, Ralph. It's not tomorrow. It's not in August. It's not week one. It's now. All our eggs are in what? Patrick Robinson, PJ Williams, Paulson Adebo.
Adubo? Adobo?
Adubi?
Yeah.
It's Adebo.
Adebo.
But
I'm getting there. I'll have it by October.
Seriously, like, which one of the – I mean, Ken Crawley might be the best option, for God's sake. And we just signed him. Yeah, I mean, what would make you feel good? Like, what, like Patrick Robinson, right? He's the starter, let's say, tomorrow. That's not – see, the thing is, a lot of people are like, well, maybe if he can stay healthy for several weeks until Adebo gets better. Like, is healthy Patrick Robinson a good option at corner starting?
Dave, where's your level of concern?
I'm nervous now. I'm nervous now.
That's the worst joke I've ever heard.
It's not a joke, though.
Okay, well, it kind
is.
Me.
It kind of is.
I didn't actually say that.
The Saints cornerback depth is a joke, yes.
Yeah, that is a joke. Now, before I even get into that, I got to say I've been spending the last 2 minutes while Andrew's talking on Twitter looking. I think the Billy Bando account is gone. I think it's dead.
Oh, my God.
What? I
didn't see anything. If you can go on there and you can find it, but
Rest in peace, Billy Bando.
I think that whole thing is done, which is a goddamn shame. I mean, to be fair, he probably never thought Ken Crawley was coming back again.
That's true.
What's the situation?
That interception Ken Crawley had was pretty sweet, though.
Against Carolina.
We're at like 2006, 2007 level. You know, it's definitely a major concern. It's the concern on defense.
We do have Lattimore. It's not that bad. And Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is the nickel guy. So it's not like the Saints need a number two corner. But
that's
fair. It's not.
I know. Back then we needed a number one corner. Yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah, and right. And back then we didn't even have a number one corner. So I guess you're right. Maybe I'm. Maybe I'm remembering it a little bit worse than it really was. I can't. Maybe the trophy is that your trophy is just like blinding me, and I can't. I can't think straight. Maybe that's what it is.
Isn't it beautiful?
I guess so. Now I don't feel as bad as I did originally. To answer your question, Ralph, when I first started answering this question, I was very nervous about it. But now
I'm
Andrew
nervous.
Has kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit. because he's right. It's not like we have nobody. It's not like our defense is terrible.
I think that's
a good thing. I feel like our threshold for what's a good defense and what's a bad defense, I feel like our threshold for that has increased a little bit, and we've got a little bit of a higher expectance, for a defense. Like I feel like if the Saints came out next year with the defense that they had in 2007, 2008, I think it would be a lot worse than what we're going to end up seeing this year. And I think we would be like, oh my God, this is. I think we've forgotten how terrible.
This is Mickey Loomis's, Andrew. This is Mickey Loomis's master plan for us to throw a goddamn parade when they sign Richard Sherman. He's just laying the groundwork. We're getting more and more desperate, more and more excited, and they're going to sign 45-year-old Richard Sherman, and we are going to be pumped. That is my theory.
Until it's a Champ Bailey situation and he gets a cut before the first week of the season.
Right. Or a Dan Morgan situation.
And then we're back to being worried about corner again.
Or there's a Dan Morgan situation.
Yeah, I'm going to say
Dan Morgan situation.
If you could tell me right now that there's a first or second year player that would just be gangbusters, ridiculous, and awesome, I would say that Adam Trautman is probably number one on my list, and number two is Paulson Adebo.
Yeah. As far as like a wish list, if you could just like lay hands player. On them
no,
and make
I,
them
no,
good.
I just mean a first or second year player, like no. like a young player on the Saints that has not like made it yet.
Wait. You didn't include your UDFA son, Keith Washington, in that list?
Oh, that's a good point. Well, he's just as liable to start as any of these dudes, right?
Yeah, if there was a third-year player that was ready to break out, it would definitely be little Jordan Humphrey. Are we in year three? Are we in year four? I don't even know.
Year three.
Okay. I'm not worried.
If there was a fourth-year player, it would be Marcus Davenport.
There you go. Eric Burrell is back, so maybe he'll be the starter. And number two corner.
Oh my God!
Yeah. No, they waived him.
That's right.
No, he's resigned.
He can't. No, yeah, that's right. They waived him, bring him back. He's.
Ken Crawley. I mean, like, I don't know. Ken Crawley. Is he? Does he not get at least a little bit? I mean, like, what was it? Was it 2017? Was it Marshawn Lattimore's rookie season?
Yeah.
Where Ken Crawley played number two, he was on the other side.
Good. He played
pretty good. What are you talking about? That was like the first season where we were like, "Holy shit! Okay, we finally have a good secondary."
Yeah,
like Ken Crawley, like
people,
like we shit all over him, but like we'll always have 2017.
People,
and Ken Crawley was a big part of that.
People,
I think. That was like a big surprise.
People,
Ken Crawley had like five games where Saints fans were convinced he was like a top five number two.
Dude, they had that off season where he like shut. They had that year before where he like shut Julio down one game, and people were like, "He shut Julio down, Ralph. Look at the PFF ratings. Ken Crawley can be good." And I had to eat it in 2017 because he was good.
That was the greatest day of Billy Bando's life.
But here's the thing with Ken Crawley, which I think people, you know, they were talking about the best UDFA signings of the Sean Payton era. And, of course, Pierre Thomas was up there. But I was like, Ken Crawley is an A-plus UDFA signing. And people, you act like I said something super controversial. They were like, Ken Crawley's terrible. How can you say he's an A-plus UDFA? I'm like, he's a UDFA, and he gave you one good year as a starting corner. Like,
yeah.
That is an A-plus UDFA signing. Like, Pierre Thomas is, like, Hall of Fame level. But, like, Ken Crawley, Tim Lolito,
Junior Gallette.
Yeah, like, Junior Gallette. Like, those are all good signings. Yeah, Junior Gallette. Well, Junior Gallette's a little dicey. He did detonate the Saints cap.
Let's slow down a little bit there.
We are on the Locker Room app every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, talking Saints, talking NFL, talking draft. It's amazing. You can interact with us, goof it to us, you can make fun of me, mispronounce names, you can ask serious draft questions about Andrew. We're having a blast talking Saints live. All you have to do is go download the Locker Room app for free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and then join the NFL group. Follow me at Saints Happy Hour to be notified when the room goes live. We'll be going live every Wednesday at around 9 o'clock to talk Saints, to talk draft, and basically to make fun of me mispronouncing names. So do it. Download the Locker Room app today and then join us live every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Sports. Culture. Takes. Take Line has it all. Take Line is a weekly podcast hosted by Emmy winner Jason Concepcion and former WNBA champ Renee Montgomery. That's a fast-paced exploration of the NBA and the world of sports and culture. Each week, Jason and Renee talk about the games, players, controversies, and issues that run both on and off the court. Follow Nail to hear Take Line every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. Speaking of Julio Jones, Dave, the Falcons are thinking of trading him, and it kind of like they are going to trade him because, like, once you leak it out to, like, the Falcons columnist for The Athletic and, like, he's got a whole...
Orlando Ledbetter.
Yeah, like, once you leak that out, like, it's done, it's a done deal. But
yeah,
I was...
you don't say we're thinking of trading this guy unless it's a... he's played his last game as a Falcon, I think.
Well... To my
There's
point
no
there,
way he's playing again in that uniform.
To my point there, Dave, I'm getting sick and tired of all these talking heads talking about Tampa's bringing everybody back, Carolina's better, Atlanta's got Matt Ryan and Kyle Pitts, and their offense is going to be good. Like, the Saints still are the best team in the NFC South. And I'm tired of this bullshit talking heads, people. The Saints are still, in my mind, the favorite. Tampa, yeah, they won the Super Bowl, but they got to play two games against a team without a quarterback, and they got to play a third game in the Super Bowl with a team that had no offensive line. Tampa is not going to be significantly better, even though they brought everybody back. I'm tired of this. The NFC South is suddenly Tampa's division to lose. I'm sick of it. Am I just being a total homer? Or do I have
no,
a point?
No, I'm with you. I mean, how many division championships have we won in a row now? Three, four? Four. We're up to four in a row. Okay, I mean, think, you know.
Going just, for just, five.
Yeah, we're going for five in a row in 2021. I mean, just remember when this division – just remember when there was never a consecutive division. Remember there was like
just
a 10-year –
Just ask Tom Brady how many divisions in a row. He's telling you right here.
There was – remember there was a 10-year – there was like a 10-year period – where nobody ever repeated as a division winner, where everybody
right.
It was Tampa, and then it was Carolina, then it was the Saints, and it was the Falcons, and it was the right. Saints, and it was the Panthers, and blah blah blah. I mean, nobody has ever dominated since the inception of the NFC South. No team has won four in a row and been this dominant over this stretch since the NFC South has started. And I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would assume since we've won the last four in a row plus a couple others before that, I would assume that we've won more division championships than any of the other teams in the NFC South since the NFC South has started.
That's correct. The team with the most NFC South titles is the Saints with seven.
Right. That's
number
what I would
number
assume.
Two is Carolina with five.
Okay. I mean, it's not like it's not close. As far as recent history is concerned, again, going back to the four straight division titles, and I know the Saints, unfortunately, have not really ever turned that into any kind of success, moving forward in a Super Bowl or whatever, but as far as the NFC South is concerned, the Buccaneers can go take a fucking flying leap.
Well, because, here's what's really interesting.
They're probably not going to win the NFC South.
The Bucs are actually dead last out of the four teams with three division titles. That's
wow.
The worst.
Of course.
And yet they have two Super Bowls. The Saints have one, and the other two have none.
I feel like Tampa
go figure.
is going to be exactly like 2003 Tampa Bay, where they won the Super Bowl in 2002 with John Gruden. In 2003, like, everything fell a fucking part. And I'm just – the thing is, Andrew, I'm just annoyed with all these articles. Like, I saw a giant article on ESPN. It was like 10,000 words. It was all the quarterbacks in new places, and it was like they broke down Stafford and Fitzpatrick and all of them. And I know Jameis – was with the Saints last year, but he didn't play. And I just feel like the Saints are getting the short end of the stick in the NFC South. Like, why is Tampa suddenly the odds-on favorite? They had the best injury luck. They're going to regress injury-wise. I don't care that they brought everybody back. And the thing is, like, one of these years, Tom Brady, he's not going to play till he's 50. Like, one of these years, the wheels are going to fucking come off, right? And even if they don't, like, the Saints house them twice. So I'm getting emotional. It's offseason. Maybe I'm just overthinking it, but I'm just tired of it. Like, the Saints, until you knock off the king, they're still the king of this division.
Well, I just find it interesting that we're going to talk about the most disliked Saints, anti-Saint, you know, NFC South player not on the Saints. And, you know, Julio Jones is a guy we talked about. And I know that, look, I hate Alabama. Julio Jones went to Alabama. Now he's a Falcon. So that's like doubly horrible. So him and Calvin Ridley, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they're the antichrist. What's interesting is that while I dislike Alabama and I dislike the Falcons, I still feel like I should hate Julio more than I actually do. Like, I don't like him, don't get me wrong, but, like, I feel like I should have this disdain that puts him at the top of the list. But Tom Brady has vaulted himself.
Front of the line.
Yeah, like, somehow, like, he came into the division, it's only been a year. And
I fucking hate him.
He has surpassed Matt Ryan, he surpassed Cam Newton. Like, I despise Tom Brady. And I don't know that I ever liked him, but it's on steroids.
I hate...
Like, for me, that is the most disliked player.
Hate Tom Brady more than I ever hated Cam. I mean, Cam won a bunch, and he was frustrating. But, like, I, like, had this weird thing, Dave, where I enjoyed hating Cam Newton because of the way he dressed, his post-game. Like, it was fun. Like, Tom Brady, I just want to punch him in the balls. Like, I fucking hate that guy so much. And
yeah, Fredo makes a good point. Like, we hated Roddy White more than we ever hated Julio.
Oh, my God. 100%.
Yeah.
But so the thing, like, Julio is like, Julio, you know, he's kind of like, you know, a Marcus Colston. I mean, in a way. I mean, like, he doesn't ever...
Oh,
he doesn't ever
ease up, buddy.
No, but he doesn't ever. But
he doesn't ever call.
Can you name one interesting thing Julio Jones has ever said, Andrew?
Yeah. He's not an outspoken guy. I you can't compare him to Colston because Colston deserved to go to a Pro Bowl, and I'm sure Julio has gone to quite a few Pro Bowls in his career. But he hasn't gone to a Pro Bowl because he's been the loudest mouth, or, you know, because, you know, he's been a very, as far as I know, Julio has been a very humble, just here to do my job, do the work kind of guy. And so that's why I've never really been able to hate Julio Jones as much as, you know, as much damage as he's done to the Saints on the field. I've never hated him as much.
The
as
interesting thing,
let's not forget that Jairus Byrd turned him into the Juliocopter fumble. And Jairus Byrd has never done anything remotely good on the field for the Saints except for that.
Jairus Byrd was with the Saints in 2017.
It was beautiful.
God, I can't remember that. But
yeah, you see, did you guys know this? That one ounce is exactly 28.3 grams.
I didn't. I've always just known it as 28 grams.
It's actually 28.3.
In my
28.3.
The interesting thing about Julio is, 28-3 sort of burned the whole Falcon organization to the ground, but within 28-3, like, Julio made a ridiculous catch in that Super Bowl that should have locked up that win. And except the next play, Matt Ryan, I think, took the sack. He got the sack fumble and it knocked him out of field goal range. So like,
that's Julio, a shame.
So like Julio.
Yeah, it's, you hate to see it.
You hate to see it, but yeah, Julio should be a lot more hated. But I can't like, I don't know. I just don't have like. I have way more memories of like Greg Olsen, even Joey Galloway. Like Julio, I don't remember any like specific moments where he just ripped the Saints' heart out, and you were like, God,
well, it's hard to hate a guy when you keep kicking his ass.
Or even what's his face? Who was there? Who was the Panthers linebacker? He just retired.
Luke Kuechly.
I mean, you could easily hate him. I mean, not personally. He was a nice guy off the field, but just
he was fun. He was fun to triple sweep.
You can't hate Mike. You can't hate Lattimore's son, Mike Evans.
You're gonna shoot your dick off.
is that what it is, Thomas? Now every time we mention Lattimore, you're gonna play
yeah.
that.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's like that's the new Anzalone Mario music.
That's why you're the best, Thomas. So I don't know. Like, is like I feel like other fans in the NFC South, there isn't a Saints player they hate. They just hate Sean Payton. Like Sean Payton is the gold standard for hating.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, like and
I drank every one of those tears, by the way.
So I'm still feeling great about the Saints running the NFC South, and part of that, Andrew, or part of that, Dave, is
you think people hate Sean Payton now? You think all these fans out there, especially NFC South fans, hate Sean Payton? Imagine what he's going to be like when he's winning the division without Drew Brees.
Oh my God. It is gonna...
Imagine the brass that just imagine how emboldened he's gonna feel when I still run this shit. I still own this division and I don't even need a Hall of Fame quarterback to do it. He is gonna stunt all over everyone. And if you think he's hated now, it's going to be 10 times worse. I'm here for it. I cannot wait.
Dave, that's a great point. That's a great point by Andrew. And I can't remember the Saints podcast I was listening to. I think it might have been Nick Underhill and Mike Triplett were talking about it. But one of them, I think, was talking about how, you know, the last couple of years, Sean Payton has kind of been subdued, even when the Saints have been winning, because, you know, they won with Bridgewater and they won with Breeze, and it wasn't, like, stylistic. But one of them mentioned, I think, they were like, if he wins with Jameis, we're going to get back to – it was Triplett because he's been around with the Saints so long. He's going to like – if they win with Jameis, it's going to be like 2009, 2010, 2011 where Peyton just swaggers into those postgame presses. He's going to be like Vince McMahon, that wrestling gif where Vince McMahon's walking into the ring. He's going to do – he might do press conferences after wins with Jameis, Dave, where he's smoking a cigarette and drinking a bourbon. Like, it will be amazing.
Hell yeah.
I think there's some truth to that. I definitely think if he starts winning games with Jameis or Taysom or Jason, I absolutely think you're right. I think he's going to the swagger, a little bit of that swagger is going to come back. He's going to be feeling good, feeling young again.
He's going to be
ripping shirt off and playing the bongos, baby.
He's going to show up at a press conference. He's going to have one of those old school tape recorders, and he's just going to hit play. He's going to hit the play button. And it's going to be a clip from this podcast right here. And it's going to be right after Paulson Adebo gets a pick six against Matt Ryan. And it, you know, returns it for a touchdown for the Saints to go 6-0 or whatever. And he's just going to play this clip about the Saints not having a number two corner. And he's just going to play that. And he's going to hit stop. He's not going to say a word. He's going to pick up the tape recorder and he's going to leave the press conference.
If the Saints.
He's going to be like Marshawn Lattimore. He's going to be like, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Next question. Marshawn Lynch. Yes, sorry.
There you go.
Dave, if the Saints beat Tampa Bay on Halloween and make it, since they have a bye, I think that would make them 6-1. Let's say they beat Tampa Bay on Halloween afternoon and they go to 6-1 and Sean Payton in the post game press conference eats the W with Jameis. Would that break the internet? Would that break NFL Twitter?
That would break the local. Like Cox locally would be okay. overwhelmed. They would Here's, be overwhelmed.
I always
for
want
sure.
Cox.
I can one up this for you. I can one up this for you. He eats the W with one bite, and then he raises.
No, he like puts.
Other
he puts
hand.
Like hot sauce on it. He puts like Tabasco yeah. sauce on
and
it.
And then he raises his other hand, and there's crab legs, and then he bites into that.
Oh my god!
That would just be chef's kiss.
I mean, any combination therein would be supreme. Would be amazing. He'll do something, but we gotta win. Look, we gotta win first. You know, like yeah. I'm sure Peyton thinks about this kind of stuff, but then I'm sure he comes back down to earth and he says, "Look, we gotta." Yeah.
No,
we gotta actually win, because otherwise, you know, you're gonna look stupid. So
when the Saints beat the Bucks, it's coming. He's gonna eat the W on air, and then he's gonna bite into
the Bucks. I mean, have the Bucks reached the same level as like the Falcons now, where it's like, you know, same thing as like LSU, Alabama. Like LSU fans don't give a shit if they go 0-9 or 0-10, as long as they beat Alabama.
No,
or, you know, Saints are like, we don't give a shit whether we go, you know.
No, you still got it. Because the thing is, Tampa's
2-15. We just need to beat the Falcons twice.
No, Tampa's got a ring. And so Tampa, they can hold the ring over Saints fans. But if the Saints could win, say the Saints could win a second division title in a row over Tom Brady and sweep him again, we can hold that over them. So I think the Saints, for it to be really enjoyable, they've got to win. But here's my question, and I want both of you to answer it, but I'll start with you, Andrew. If the Saints, one of the reasons why I'm all in and excited about Jameis is if the Saints win with Jameis and they go 11-6, 12-5, whatever it is, you know, it can't be as fun, obviously, as 2009 because that ended with a Lombardi. But if they go 12-5 and like Jameis is like a serious MVP candidate, I think it will be a top three most fun Sean Payton season. Like it will be so much fun because the Saints will be stunting over everybody. We will be having fun on Twitter, laughing everybody as Sean Payton has turned Jameis around. Like it will be amazing. I think it'll be a top three all-time fun regular season if they get this fifth straight with Jameis.
So is there a question somewhere
no,
in there?
Do you disagree?
No, just, no question.
No question.
That's just the statement?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think it's just been so established. The Saints are so established as a franchise now and as a team, and it's always been about Drew Brees. And so I almost think in some ways this is a legacy builder for Sean Payton because this is his first opportunity. The last 2 years he's been able to 100%. Flex his coaching muscles in a way because he's been able to go 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater, 3-1 with Taysom Hill. So he's been able to win without Drew. And that's been legacy builders in its own way. But like Drew is officially gone now. And if they win another division title, then it's kind of like, maybe I'm just a great coach, you know?
Yeah.
And that the narrative starts to change where I think that cements his Hall of Fame status.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would be great fun. And I think the level of excitement, like I think he would double down on the antics because he would feel invincible.
Like yeah, the worry about your meat, it would just be amazing. Dave, I know you. We don't want to talk about Raz and all that stuff because that gets your gander up or whatever the fuck it is, but I do want to bring up a point.
Are we doing the drinking test where we're going to drink and then we're going to do the drills and we're going to
yeah, people get our Raz? People were really overly excited to see me do the Raz drills. They're like, I want to see that. Maybe
I want to see Ralph's cone time.
Maybe we'll do that if Andrew from Sports Drink Media, if we can get the live show locked down for the fall, maybe we could do it where, like, during the live broadcast, we could set up a couple of the drills and we could do it during the live show for people. But Dave, speaking of that, the interesting thing was PFF did a thing where they reevaluated the 2019 draft. And the thing that they did that was interesting to me was they admitted where they overgraded people, where they were like, they're like, oh, we gave this team above average and they ended up below average or average. They admitted that they were totally freaking wrong about the 2019 Saints draft because they were like, you know, they didn't have a bunch of picks and we thought they overdrafted Eric McCoy and they overdrafted Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and both of those were basically home run draft picks in the second and fourth round.
Those two draft picks were really the only thing to really come out of that draft. All the other picks.
Caden Ellis is still on the team, man.
He's still hanging around.
Oh, he's real difference maker.
But here's the thing.
We've been talking him up this offseason, chatting him up.
He had a special teams tackle, I think, at one point.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
Damn.
So, anyway, my point stands stronger now than it did 2 seconds ago. That, you know, Eric McCoy and CJG are really the only two good things to come out of that draft. What they were saying is basically that at the time they didn't think that those guys should have even been drafted when they were drafted. They, you know, I guess they thought Eric McCoy should have been maybe a round 3 pick and not a round 2 pick, and CJG maybe should have been a round 5 pick and not around 4.
Caden Ellis had 5 tackles last year.
Wow. What a difference maker.
But here's the thing, Dave.
What a difference maker.
So
here's what I want to say. So what I'm hoping for, since I was so negative this year about the draft this year, about the reach for Peyton Turner, so I guess this is Exhibit A for, you know, the Saints not giving a shit about what the ratings are and what the national media says about a draft pick, and just picking that guy anyway, regardless of the round or regardless of the position, and it working out okay. So this would be for the people that are against me and want to shit on me for my hot takes after the draft this year. Right, this would be Exhibit A. Unfortunately, this might be your only exhibit, so make sure you really, you know, really juice it as much as you can. Get as much juice out of that as you can, because that might be your only evidence. But it is evidence nonetheless.
Well, the book isn't closed on Saquon Hampton. He's with the Jets, yeah. And Elise Mack is on the Lions. So they could still maybe.
But here's the thing, Andrew. I just look at a draft. I look at
the Lions.
Who did
the
you
Lions.
Pick?
Everybody goes to the Lions to get great.
But I mean, there was no first round pick, Dave. So like, when you look,
I understand,
at
the, and that's
their
first, why.
Their
I think
first
that's
two
why
picks
Eric
are a second
and
a fourth.
And we traded up.
If their picks were a second and a fourth, then those are the two players they got. I mean, that's pretty remarkable.
I mean,
That's correct, and that's what this publication. I don't know who it was.
PFF.
It was.
But here's the thing that to
PFF,
me
and
is
correct.
Is all I care about is what did you do in the first four rounds? Like, anything after the fourth round,
right,
that's
fine,
just
yeah.
a scratch-off. So to me, right. they had traded away their first. They traded up in the second and got an extra fourth, which they didn't have. And with those two picks that they traded up to get, they hit home runs. So, like, to me, the 2019 draft for the Saints is an A+. Like, am I wrong just not to give a shit about any pick that's after the fourth round, Andrew?
Marcus Colson thinks so.
Oh my God! I mean, you won $5 million on the scratch off. Congratulations! Like,
usually after the fourth, you're correct. But the Saints, you know, since 2006, there's been some examples of post fourth round picks that have worked out pretty nice.
Yeah.
Carl Nix, Zach Streif.
You work hard and play hard, so treat yourself and stock up for summer barbecues with Kansas City Steak Company. Visit KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with code SD at checkout. For classic steak cuts to USDA Prime to American Style Kobe, hard to find specialty cuts and more, Kansas City Steaks has everything you need to fire up the grill. They make it so easy. Each order from Kansas City Steaks is flash frozen and delivered directly to your home. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Imagine relaxing in the backyard with your family while enjoying steakhouse quality meals from Kansas City Steaks. Try their butter tender filet mignon, Kansas City strips, juicy steak burgers, all beef jumbo hot dogs, and even complete meal combos. Bring the steakhouse to your house this summer with Kansas City Steaks. Go to KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with the code SD at checkout. That's KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD. KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD. This week has tons of sports action as the MLB, NBA, and NHL are all in full swing. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sports news, sign up for bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. As we're talking about the draft, Dave, one thing that I think that is really interesting with the 2021 Saints is, you know, we talk about guys that are under pressure and that sort of thing, right? And we talk about Jameis and Ramchak and Lattimore, and if the Saints should pay them, and Marcus Williams, what are they going to do? Are they going to extend them? Are they going to franchise them, trade them, whatever? But I think we don't focus enough about guys that are on either long-term deals or have multiple years left on their contract with the Saints, where it is sort of a make or break, or at least a very, very high pressure season. And I'm thinking of like Andres Pete. I'm thinking of Marcus Davenport, even though they picked up the option. Cam Jordan, he had a really bad year in 2020 by his standards. So which one of the guys that have the Saints have made a long-term commitment to better step it up in 2021, or they might not be on the team in 2022?
Yeah, I saw you... I saw this included in the rundown, and I saw the players you included, you know, like you said, Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport, Andres Pete, and I think one name stands out above all, and it's Marcus Davenport. I mean, you know, Cam Jordan, pressure. Look, Cam Jordan's had a career. If this is the end of the line for Cam Jordan, he's had a good career, and, you know, we'll always love him, and we'll still love him. Andres Pete, you know, I mean, he's already gotten paid. I think we were all surprised that he's already been paid. So it's not a question of him getting paid even more. It's Marcus Davenport. This is it. They picked up his fifth year option. He's going into his fourth year. They traded first round picks to get him. He has not lived up to the expectations yet. That's pressure. That's the absolute definition of pressure.
Here's my question, Andrew. I know they picked up his fifth year option, but it's only $9.5 million.
Doesn't feel the pressure.
Dollars.
I don't know what the hell's wrong with him.
Not that they would cut him, but like I think they could easily. Because they may or may, you know, depending on the salary cap and the TV money, they may have serious cap issues next year. What sort of the, I don't know what you would call it, like the Mendoza line or whatever for Marcus Davenport, where Where does he have to – what level does he have to perform at, you think, for the Saints to be like, yeah, we're going to pay him $9.5 million. Or, you know what? He did not perform good enough. We're trading him to the Texans for a sixth-round pick. We're trading him to Cleveland for a conditional seventh or Indianapolis, whatever. Were they just like, we're gonna clean that $10 million right off our books and do something else with it? What's the line where he has to perform to where he'll be on the Saints in 2022?
I think the over-under is 6 sacks. And if he has it more than that, then obviously, if he has double digits, then it's a productive season. If it's less than that, but over 6, it's like, yeah, he remains a disappointment, probably a bust of a pick, especially when you consider giving up 2 firsts. But he's at least serviceable. Under 6 sacks, I think it's like shipping for parts, you know? And I agree with Dave. I think that's the right answer. I think Davenport is absolutely the guy that needs to step up this year, and it's put up or shut up time. But you know,
I don't think there's any player on this team whose seat is hotter than his. I can't think of anybody whose seat is hotter than Marcus Davenport.
I'll throw out another name, and this is I still agree with Dave. I think Davenport's the guy. It's early in his career, but to Dave's point about the Saints not being as good at drafting as we think they are, I think the Saints' draft capital, their draft acumen, takes a hit if Cesar Ruiz doesn't have a great year this year. So I think Cesar Ruiz is on the hot seat a little bit because he had such a bad rookie season. And I think he'll be fine. Like, I think he's going to be good this year. I think everyone kind of expects that he's going to turn it on and be solid this year. But if he's not, and if, you know, James Hurst all of a sudden is starting for him, like Nick Easton was, and he's kind of still having trouble cracking the starting lineup, then I think that's a guy where not only is it a disappointment inside the building to fans, whatever, but it's also like their drafting ability takes a hit.
No, I think that's a great choice. I just, the thing is, I wanted to bring up this question because I feel like we are so Jameis centric, Dave, and these free and the guys that are, you know, they have to re-sign. You know, we know that like Ramchek, he has a great year, he gets paid.
Actually, I mean, Jameis is a great one though, right? I mean, it's him and Taysom both. It's put up or shut up time.
Well, like, that's a good question.
For both of those guys, their chances at being a starting quarterback in the league are done if they're not awesome this year. For both.
Here's an interesting question.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think the Saints are financially, contractually, I think they're kind of well positioned to be able to pivot in a totally different direction, I guess, if they had to. You know, Jameis is on a 1-year deal. Taysom's deal is fake money. And obviously, quarterback is always your biggest investment. So, you know, if you pivot away from both of them,
could be the Ian Book.
You could do that, but you could do a lot of things. But I mean, just financially, I think after this year, they could definitely, I think they've set themselves up where they could easily pivot and easily move some guys and free up some money, and they're not necessarily be tied to.
Here,
to a lot of these guys.
Here's a question, Dave. Let's assume Jameis is really good and the Saints are a 12 or 13 game winning.
It's very optimistic.
I want to be optimistic, God damn it. It's May. May is for dreams.
Very optimistic. That is very optimistic.
So here's my question, though. Let's say Jameis.
9 to 10 wins at most for me.
Jameis locks down quarterback, and he's amazing. And the Saints are winning. They get a 5th straight division title. So Jameis, so Taysom is in his, you know, hybrid role of H-back, playing a little wildcat, doing his thing. How good does he have to be for the Saints to want to keep him and pay him a reasonable amount in 2022?
Right, as not a quarterback.
As not a quarterback.
As your Tim Tebow.
I think the Saints can move on. I think if Jameis was good to where it became clear that he's the guy of the future and they were going to commit to him financially, then I think along with that comes the decision of we're moving on from Taysom Hill.
I think the Saints say, hey, look, we know who our quarterback is now. We have Jameis. We're not going to sign you as a quarterback. We're not going to pay you quarterback money. We're going to pay you tight end. I won't even say wide receiver because they don't like to pay wide receiver money. They much prefer to play tight end money. So, hey, we're gonna pay you tight end money, and it's this much. And, you know, and then maybe, you know, maybe you've got an issue there and you've got some back and forth between the team. And
well, that's then the question becomes, like, could he go somewhere else and another team would be like, hey,
that's the thing.
Taysom, come here and, you know, come. The Raiders are like, hey, we're getting rid of David Carr. Come here and you can compete for the job. Or, you know, I'm trying to think of a team, Andrew, without a that would have a quarterback, you know, a quarterback issue. You know, hey, it's Tampa. Hey, Tom Brady died because Cam Jordan killed him. We got a quarterback. Come,
well,
Taysom,
that's
come
happening.
Here. Come here and compete for the job.
Yeah. No, I could see a team say, we'll give you a one-year, $7 million deal, and, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is our other quarterback. Maybe it's Washington football team, right? And they're just like, come in, you can compete for a starting job. If you don't get it, you don't get it. And but in that scenario, like, I firmly believe he's never making anything close to the money he's making with the Saints this year ever again.
No, I hear you. So, Thomas, put the pie graphic up. We didn't have anybody sign up for the become a patron this week. Add to the total. So we are still 56 patron signups away from me taking a pie
Nick Ralph
in the face, courtesy of
my wife.
So. People get to sign up. You're listening to this podcast for free. Sign up so we can get to 350 so I can get a pie in the face.
Need 57 more.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
that's a raspberry pie, right?
Here's the thing. If we get to 350 and we do – and if we get to 350 and we have a live show in the fall, we'll save it. I won't do it on video. We'll have Dave or Andrew or Kevin – or maybe a lucky patron, they can give me the raspberry pie in the face at the live show. So sign up and support the show and help us out. Here's another thing.
It's going to be a raspberry bukkake.
here's another thing. Thomas has been working on the Drew Brees bad decision bracket. But Thomas, we might have a late entry into this Drew's worst decision bracket. I don't know if everybody saw this. Thomas brought this to my attention. Drew Brees is advertising some sort of fucking sleeve that you can wear. It's my like God. The Brett Favre.
Oh, is this the Brett Favre sleeve?
Yeah. It's like the Brett Favre gold secret sleeve or some shit where you wear
copper,
it. He's
copper
he's,
compression.
You know, it looks like a dress sock. You know?
Yeah.
Notice with the throw, they didn't show the entire throw of Brees because his arm is dead, right?
I'm not going to lie. I wear that sleeve sometimes. Not going to lie.
Oh!
I've been doing it for years.
Yeah, I mean, do we need to vouch for this technology?
When I have tennis elbow, which has happened over the years, I'll throw a little compression sleeve on there.
We might need a play-in game, Andrew. We set up the bracket, but we might need to have a play-in game with the sleeve.
Nah, the compression sleeves are legit, man. All the NBA players are wearing compression stuff. I mean,
is there nothing the man will not endorse for money?
You guys are acting like the compression sleeve is like something new. That's,
voodoo. It's like...
All NBA players wear it. It's true. You know, tennis players wear it when they have tennis elbow.
What is this copper? What does the copper do?
It's supposed to be like...
What do you mean supposed to be?
Well, it's like copper fibers and you know, the thread is supposed to...
What do you mean supposed to?
It's supposed to calm down inflammation.
What do you mean supposed to?
I don't
Andrew, how much do they pay you?
Nothing.
Confess.
So, and by the way, Thomas also thought of a great idea before we get to the question segment. Thomas thought of a great idea. Patrons, if you want to send us videos or pictures of when you get your booze bundle and your Saints trading card. I know we just sent one out. Somebody was really excited. They got Morton Anderson. Somebody was mad because they got Bobby Hebert. Send us pictures of like your booze bundle or you listening to the podcast at a wedding or something and funny, and we'll put it on the show. So it'll be like a patron spotlight. And also, Dave's baby, the hotline.
Here we go. I was about to ask you when you were going to be promoting this. I didn't want you to forget.
No. We don't forget because now Thomas makes me do a rundown. I send you guys the rundown. Me and Thomas have an actual production meeting on Saturday. We go through it. So we are doing the hotline. Call the hotline and tell us.
Hey, Thomas, check the timestamp on this.
Tell us about a time where you got in a fight or an almost fight at a Saints game, and next week on the show, we'll play the best voicemails of people getting into or almost getting into fights at Saints games. So we're trying to restart the hotline.
Okay, great. There's the number. If you're not watching live, if you're listening the next day while you're driving to work, there's the number, 210-595-0818. That is 210-595-0818. Nobody is going to answer. Don't worry about it. It's going to go straight to voicemail. You leave whatever silly message you want.
Tell us a great story. If you really tell a great story and it's really great, maybe we'll send you a prize. If you make us really laugh. So Thomas,
you guys know how high they fill the dome foam. You know, when you buy the beer and it's like up to the tippy top,
if you're lucky.
I'll never forget. There was a time where the Saints were playing a regular season game and I was at the game and I took my cousin, you've met my cousin, Chris. And so we're at the game and third quarter, Saints make a great play. And I just like grab my cousin's arm, you know, and I'm like shaking it, and like he's got the full beer cup and I'm just not paying attention as I grab his arm, and the beer goes everywhere, you know, it's shaking, and like there's these two ladies in front of us. I mean, they just get completely showered. And it was one of those things where they were completely done up, you know, the hair, the makeup, whatever, and they were just so furious, and I thought they were going to punch me in the face.
Was this the game where you were also drinking like champagne, like fancy champagne?
Oh yeah.
You champagne.
We were a little they were already annoyed with us because we were rowdy and we were obnoxious, and then that happened, and I was just like, it was one of those things where I apologized, but like there was no salvaging that. You know, it's like happened. I got beer all over you. Like, I'm a terrible person. Like, there's no recovery from that.
When you get sloppy drunk at Saints games, Andrew, do you start speaking French at people because you're so bougie?
No.
Yes.
No, that doesn't happen.
All right, we got questions. Thomas, fire up the questions music. No, by the way, somebody on YouTube said my dancing is getting lazy. Finger guns. All right, Thomas, hit me up with the first question.
Okay, first question comes from CCB Nola. In 20 years, what as seen on TV product will Drew Brees be selling on late night TV?
Compression sleeves.
Well, we're already there now. We don't have to wait 20 years for that.
He'll be selling some sort of bionic arm contraption, and he'll be like, I wish in 2020 I had the bionic arm contraption. Then I would have a second Super Bowl ring. Now you can buy the bionic arm for only 8 payments of $45.95, and you too could maybe win a second Super Bowl. It'll be like a bionic arm or something.
Going to be selling the clapper. Clap on, clap off. The lights. That's still going to be a thing in 20 years.
I like the clapper.
How do you improve on that technology?
You can't.
You can't.
I feel like Breeze is going to be selling some, like, Breeze will 100% be like Frank Thomas, or Shaq is doing this now, where he sells some like natural testosterone thing. We're like, yeah. You turn back the clock 10 years. Yeah. We're like, I've got my energy. I'm Drew Breeze, and I got old, and my joints got diseased, and I didn't feel very good. And then I took this, and I turned the clock back, and I'm 10 years younger. It's going to be one of those things.
I'm not only a spokesperson, I'm also a client.
As long as it's not ordered by mail Viagra, it'll be fine.
What next?
Oh.
Next, second question comes also from our patrons Discord. This time from Preston. Should the Saints trade for Julio Jones to play number two corner? He's got plenty of experience chasing down ball carriers after fumbling.
That's what Jarris Bird said.
I mean, the Saints and Atlanta are in the same cap situation, so no. But as long as here's a question, Dave. Where would Julio getting traded make Falcons fans the saddest? That's what you want.
I mean, like to where would where? Yeah, well, I mean. To going to the Saints, no. I wouldn't you assume would make them the saddest? No.
New England, right? It would make them the saddest.
No.
You know what, Preston, joking that Julio should play number two corner for the Saints, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the time where Kobe Fleener was like the only Saints player on the roster who had once intercepted Matt Ryan. Do you remember that? Because he was on the Colts, and Matt Ryan threw a Hail Mary, and the Colts threw him in there on the Hail Mary, and he intercepted a Matt Ryan pass. And so Kobe Fleener was literally the only dude on the roster that had picked off Matt Ryan.
Oh, my God.
That is the worst joke I've ever heard.
It's not even a joke. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. All right, Thomas.
True statement.
I love that soundbite.
What next?
Next question comes from Ryan Talent. How many wins 2021 wins do Saints need to give Jameis a long-term contract? And is there a level of failure that could get Sean Payton fired?
Ooh. No chance Payton gets fired.
He could want to leave.
He's got such a long leash. Maybe, but his leash is so long.
Yeah.
There's no way he gets fired after one poor season.
He could go 1-16 and get a Saints Nation pregnant.
Yeah,
He would still be the head coach.
Well, nobody would ever hear about the Saints Nation getting pregnant.
Right.
We would just know. It would just be us that know. for wins in 2021 for Jameis, I say 9. If he gets
really?
Nine, yeah, yeah.
You think he gets a long-term contract for 9 wins?
He gets 9 wins. Everybody says, oh, I see potential here. Next season he'll get 10, 11, and he'll continue on. Yes, absolutely.
Sure. I don't know. Yeah.
I think for it to be a lock, it has to be 12. Because I think anything under 12, there is a scenario where you're like, they got lucky in one score games. Jameis struggled at the beginning, struggled at the end. Like, for him 100% to get a long-term deal, Andrew, it's got to be at least 12. Because I can't see a scenario where the Saints go 12, win 12 or more games, and Jameis isn't awesome. I mean, like, how often does that happen where a team goes 12-4, 12-5, or a team would go 13-4, and you'd be like, their quarterback is – I don't know if I like him. Like, I can't see that happening.
I think the offense with Troutman and no clear number two receiver, they're going to need quarterback play to elevate them offensively if they're going to get to 12 wins. So I think, if they get 12 wins, then clearly I think Jameis gets an extension because that'll mean he had a great season.
I would think
I think if they get 9 wins, they'll be happy with Jameis, and I think they would like to see what Jameis can
Are
do.
Are you Jameis one of one?
Yeah, I am Jameis one of one. Watch out. Watch out.
What next?
I'm a theologian.
Next question comes from Illinois. How much would you wager that Kyle Turley and Jeremy Shockey have refused the vaccine?
I don't know about Turley. Shockey, yes. I don't know about Turley.
Turley is really pro smoking weed, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think Shockey.
Yeah, Turley's vaccinated for sure.
Turley's vaccinated. I think Shockey might
be vaccinated, but he's definitely an anti-masker. Shockey is definitely one of those, you can't tell me what to do, I'm ripping this mask off.
I mean, Shockey was probably 20 miles off the coast of Miami every day on his boat for most of the pandemic. So
yeah.
All right, so Thomas.
Shockey 100% got COVID. 100%. There is no way Shockey did not have COVID.
There's a chance.
Shockey might actually be like he might be like patient zero.
There's a chance it didn't come from China. It came from Shockey.
He's like the monkey in Outbreak.
Yeah. All this time we've been blaming Wuhan, and it was really Jeremy
Shockey. Jeremy
Shockey went to Wuhan, gave it to that population, and then it spread like wildfire.
That's right. He went.
He told the Chinese government how to make it.
He did like a 6-day bender in Vegas, flew straight to Wuhan, and gave it to him. It's like the streets. I don't want to do a spoiler alert, but there's the Army of the Dead. By the way, oh my God, that movie was 2.5 hours that I'll never get back on Netflix. It's bad.
Last question, Ralph, comes from our special guest. Actually, I didn't tell you about him during our production meeting. Please welcome our last question from the special guest, which is Nick Underhill.
Oh, wow. Boy.
No, Dick Underhill.
Dick Underhill. What do you got for us?
Okay, so... I was watching some 09 games, and I came across Bobby Hebert celebrating from Will Smith straps his sack on Mark Sanchez, which Remy Adel recovered. And I got a question. Which opponent would make you react the way Bobby Hebert reacted?
Which opponent? So I think... It would be more for me. It would be more like the moment. What moment in Saints history just gave me the juice where I just behaved in total buffoonery? What's that noise right there?
Wait, Andrew, we have footage of it.
Okay.
He's got.
Oh yeah.
That's the press box at the Superdome. Look at the meat. Look at Mark Jafisi, my old boss at WWL. He's the shame on his face is delightful.
That's beautiful. Look at that. A full stadium.
I mean, y'all wonder what we do with the patrons' money. That's what we do. We have Thomas getting that clip of Bobby Hebert going fucking bananas in the Saints press box.
Well, so I have a legit answer to this, because when I went to the Super Bowl, when the Saints were in the Super Bowl in Miami, and Tracy Porter and I was sitting in the makeshift press box. It wasn't the official press box in the stadium because it's the Super Bowl, and obviously they have way more media than they have in Miami for a normal Miami Dolphins game, so they have to make part of the stadium, you know, like an annex as additional seating for the press. But so, you know, it's kind of a similar thing to this, to be honest with you. When Tracy Porter picked off that pass in the fourth quarter and the Saints and sealed the Saints Super Bowl, I just instinctively you know, even though I knew I was in the press box, and even though I knew what the decorum was supposed to be, I still instinctively stood up and raised my hands in the air and yelled until somebody threw a pen at me and kind of reminded me this. Oh yeah, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be doing this. So, I mean, to answer the original question, the play is Tracy Porter's interception in the Super Bowl.
And you did it.
But I can kind of relate to this. I didn't celebrate this much. I did not celebrate. I wasn't giving the Jets in a regular season game.
He is.
I wasn't giving the old Italian hand salute there. No, I wasn't doing that.
Check out the guy in the blue shirt.
That's my old boss. Yeah.
That's Ralph's boss.
That's my Ralph's old boss.
Check
so, I mean, the moments for me. So I would say. I mean, the obvious ones are like the Tracy Porter thing or the Steve Gleason block, but there were two plays that I remember distinctly where the moment that they happened, like the very second that they happened, I knew that they would live in infamy forever. And the first is the Drew Brees spin move against the Falcons.
Yeah.
Where he then dives into the end zone and he leaves two Falcons players in the dust. And as soon as that happened, I just knew, like, this is going to be a gift forever. Like, this is a gift from the gods, and or a GIF from the gods. And the other one was
GIF from the gods.
The GIF from the gods. And then the other one was the buttception from Lattimore. Just when that whole thing happened, and the interception is literally laying on his right butt cheek. That was just a moment of pure hilarity that will never be topped.
Mine is a strange one. When they played Washington in 2009, and the guy for Washington misses the field goal that would have put Washington up 10, and then the very next play, he hits Meacham on the touchdown. I laughed so hard, I fell out my couch. Like, I was just like, the Saints are never losing a football game ever again in my entire life. Like, that just, it made me cackle so much. I guess maybe it was the meet around before. Like, it just felt like the Saints, who never get a break about anything, got all these breaks against the Redskins, and they're going to win, and they're going to go to overtime and win. And I fell off my couch cackling, and my wife is like, what is your problem? They're not even winning. And I'm like, but they are gonna win. This is amazing. So that's mine.
Well, that was the unknown who dad game. Go ahead, say it.
Yeah, that was in DC. Now that was very similar to that though, but I would say the Meech around crawled so that the Jinxgiving Day miracle could walk. I was always a fan of the Saints Cowboys Thanksgiving.
That's a great
Jenkins
one.
Runs down the dude and gets the
Roy
ball
Williams.
Back.
Yeah,
Roy Williams. That to me, you know, I already gave my answer to this question, but that to me, that was about as surprising. To me, that was about as surprising as it gets.
Well, that one was so fulfilling because that was my uncle's
living room.
That was post Super Bowl season, so it was like the giant bird of like, "Fuck you, we're the champions, Dallas. We are ripping your house."
But that was a great game.
We had to come back
in that game. We were down in that game. That was a big comeback.
Yeah.
That was a great game. That's an underrated game. I feel like we don't talk about that game enough.
Alan just brought up the touchdown pass to Jimmy Graham in the 49ers game. We never talk about that.
At the time, I do remember freaking the fuck out over him catching that.
Same. There was obviously the subsequent everything that happened after that.
Right,
so we never think about that play, but I remember that's a great call, Alan, at the time. Jimmy Graham making that play.
Prior to that, the Niners had scored to take the lead. And then it was like, so we had just lost the lead, and then all of a sudden Graham catches that pass, runs for another 50 yards or whatever, and we have the lead back. And it was like, I remember feeling so relieved after that. It's like, oh my God, like, holy shit, okay, maybe we're not going to piss this game away or whatever.
I remember, and then we go and piss it away. I remember that play distinctly because at the time, my wife told me that I had to rock our son to sleep because he's 11 now, but at the time he was 6 months old. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, I'm not dealing with him tonight. Like, you're putting him to bed. And I'm like, but the Saints are playing a playoff game. So I'm literally holding my son in my arms and I'm trying to rock him to sleep. And then Jimmy Graham makes that play. And so I'm trying to like still rock him to sleep. And he's like kind of dozing off. And I'm like, yes, fuck yes. Like I'm just like muted, you know, like going crazy. And I'm still like holding him. So yeah, it was a long time ago.
I was drunk and barely coherent when Jimmy Graham caught that touchdown. Just
yeah.
drunk.
Jimmy Graham bending the goalpost was another one.
Yeah. So
great.
So thanks. Thanks for the Thomas for the patron popping in, and that's why you should become a patron. You get in the Discord, you can interact with us, you can have fun. We talk Saints all the time, but you can interact on the live show. But Thomas also
thank you, Dick Underhill.
Dick Underhill. Yeah, so yeah. Thomas also, what did we miss that I, as a host, did a poor job of all the assets that you spent all week creating that we've missed? Let's do a rapid fire round and talk about these assets that I didn't go over in the rundown.
Yeah, I mean, we missed one Saints news. Saints rookie offensive lineman Alex Hoffman has retired, per source.
He's the doctor. He's the doctor.
That's just an excuse.
There you go, Thomas. That's your first pick. That's your UDFA pick. There's your son.
Yeah, yeah. And since Matt is with us, we had a locker room chat during the week. And where did that Nick Underhill meme came from? You can see on the screen.
We think Matt is Nick Underhill's burner, or they're the same person because they sound really, really alike. Just
by the way, I will say last night I watched the first scene, the opening scene of The Godfather.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Where the guy comes and like asks for retribution
for his daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, first off.
I gotta say, I saw that Bill Simmons is on Locker Room, and I saw an art news article about the amount of money that he got from Locker Room. We got like 0.00000001% of the Bill Simmons.
How much did he get?
He got reportedly $2 million from Locker Room.
Oh my god!
Well, we'll take $100,000.
So
we got $20.
We get a gift card to Lowe's. What else you got, Thomas?
We get free breadsticks at Olive Garden for going on Locker Room.
Mm-hmm.
But, before we get out of here, I just want to remind people that Thomas is working incredibly diligently and efficiently on the Drew Brees bracket. We have graphics and jokes and videos. The Drew Brees bracket is going to be amazing. And by the way,
I love it. I love that.
By the way, patrons, if you are a patron, you will get access to a special show where I'm going to edit all the segments of the bracket, and you'll get access to that after. So like, if you just want to listen to the bracket portion of the show, you get first access to that. So that's another reason to become a patron. You get access to the bracket show in its own special way. And I'm just, this bracket, I'm incredibly excited for this one. I don't know that it can top Jim Mora, but Dave, in its own special way, I think this one has a chance to be really, really fun.
Well, I mean, just the fact that this is the first one that we've had Thomas involved in, and we actually have like this thing that we could look at and like visualize, that's going to be a big help for me for sure, definitely for Kevin if and when he ever joins, because he'll need to catch up.
We need
was Kevin even here tonight?
No.
We need to name the regions of the bracket. You know,
but I'm looking at it now. I guess y'all seeded this. I have some arguments against maybe the seedings, but that's okay.
The seeding committee is huge.
We'll work with it. Yeah, huge. That's all right.
So
we'll work with it.
So, Thomas, fire hair up the music plugs. So we can get out of here.
Hair plugs is grossly underrated, grossly underseeded.
Well, I can't wait. And we're going to end. This is the first bracket where we've figured out a way for patrons and listeners of the show to be interactive and part of the decision-making process. Oh, so that's
even
exciting
better,
too.
Even better.
So Andrew's got his trophy.
Oh my God, thanks, the trophy.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the YouTube live stream. If
shouldn't
you
that be
don't,
under your
you should. It's
pillow?
Amazing. Thanks for Thomas for running the show behind the scenes in Poland. Yeah. He does it. He's done an amazing job. And actually, he's the one that makes the show run smoother because he has higher standards than the rest of us. So he makes me do production meetings. He makes me have homeworks. So Thomas is doing an amazing job. He's worth all the Polish sausage we pay him. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who's MIA, for Thomas running the show back in Poland, congratulations, Andrew. You're a champion of 11-year-old boys basketball. I'm Ralph. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, remember, kids, don't shoot your dick off, and the bar is closed.
That's a great ending. It's a great new ending.